So we're doing Rav Chelap and Pashat Chukat, and our subject is Emet ve'emuna. Now the word emuna we are going to incorrectly or inaccurately translate as faith, even though emuna is something a little different than faith. But for lack of a better word, we're going to use the word faith. I apologize in advance. The correct word is emuna, and that needs to be defined. It's not exactly faith. I'll say it in a nutshell, even though it deserves a broader class. Emunah, we can define as two things. Number one, it's a connection that exists within a person that a person has to allow to be revealed. But it's not the same as faith. When I give you a 100 shekel and I trust you, you'll give it back. I might have reason to think you'll give it back. But that's faith. On good faith, I'll give you the money. Whether you will or won't is a good question. The second thing about emunah is that Hashem gives us all the proofs we need up to a small step. I always compare it to a person who's crossing two mountains, and in between the mountains, he can actually step, and his foot can go from one mountain to the other. But he could also stick his foot in between the two mountains and say, oh no, I fell in the hole. He could force himself to fall, but it's a small step. It's not, his foot even fits across the gap. But if he turns his foot and sticks it in the gap, he could say, you see, my foot got stuck. That's just obviously a very short two words on a subject which deserves a series. We'll start Rav Chalap.
Yeah, you just mentioned one space when you said it was more faithfulness. Like you're saying.
Okay.
If a stranger on the street asks you for 50 shekels, hey, you might get it back, you might not. If Rabbi Gon asks you to borrow 50 shekels, you still might not, but it's highly unlikely. You'll be agreeing with
me for God. Okay.
Anyway, I think that's sort of what you said.
Fine. Vichu, so emet, says Rav Chalap, is something definitive. It is finite. Emunah is something which evolves. It's dynamic. Veikhu elecha para aduma. God tells Moshe they will take to you a red cow. Darshu chazan, our sages taught that Satan, the nations of the world, they would always bug Israel and say, what's this mitzvah? What's the logic behind this? And that's why the Torah introduces it and calls it chukah, a statute. It says in the Pasuk, V'asaf ish tahor, a pure person will gather the ashes and place it outside the camp in a pure place. Our sages say, from here we learn that they would take the ashes of the red cow and divide it into thirds. A third would be by the outer wall of the temple, what's called the chel, a little wall that was an amah high. A third would be by the Mountain of Olives. And a third was saved for generations. So why do we need a third of every red cow to be saved for generations? You still had from Moshe's red, the ashes of Moshe's red heifer saved for generations. Why were you saving a third of every red cow for generations? And why were the nations always bugging us about this mitzvah? We find two aspects in the world. We have emet, we have emunah. Emet is definitive. It's true. And it doesn't change. It's the truth. If it changes, then it's not true. Something true has to be definitive. So Hashem says, my sign is emet. Hashem's seal, so to speak, his seal is emet. So that's a definitive, a constant. And Hashem says, I don't change. Ani Hashem lo shiniti, I don't change. People might change. They'll get different behavior in accordance with how they change. Hashem is a constant. His Torah is a constant. Emunah is something that is naturally different than emet. Emunah is something that has different shades, and it has different levels of clarity, and there are different levels that can be recognized or not recognized. Emunah is something within nature, meaning emunah is something that must be, it's a part of one's life, and even so, emunah is dynamic, it's shifting within one's life. When you plant the seed, nature grows. There's a, within nature, we have movement, we have dynamics. Now you'll ask me, is it a seed? No, now the seed rotted. Is it rotten? No, now that rotten seed evolved into a plant. Is it a plant? No, now it's producing fruits and leaves. It's dynamic. It's not a constant. It's changing. It's flowing. That's nature. Nature, life, is things that change. Life is about movement. Emunah is about life. Emunah fluctuates. Emunah is dynamic, as we will see. The pasuk says, "Shechon eretz u'ei emunah." Shechon eretz, live in the land, u'ei emunah, and shepherd your emunah. Live in the land of Israel, and shepherd, as you are watching sheep, shepherd your emunah. Living in Israel is contingent on emunah. You can't be here without it. I have a friend who was very high up in the Secret Service of Israel. When he walks into the room and there are generals there, they stand up. He told me already about different missions. When the Lebanon War began, so a few days before the war began, he was already in Lebanon. Like he was already doing whatever they do behind the scenes, long before anyone else knew war broke out. He told me once it was Shabbos. He suddenly got a phone call. 15 minutes later, there was a jeep in front of his house, and 2-3 hours later, he was already in Lebanon. He said, he's high up there. And he said to me, if you would know what we know, you would pack your bags and run. He said, we in the army know that without the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no way we're here. It's very nice. We have security. We have intelligence. We have weapons. Believe me, if you knew what we know, everyone on top thinks that there's no natural way we can be here another 20 years. He said to me, it's a given. It's not that there's no, we're here and we've been here. But it has nothing to do with our understanding of how our military functions. He said this to me once. We were talking late at night, so maybe he let it spill. But it blew me away. If he tell it to me from an emunah perspective, fine. But he's telling it to me as an army guy.
It's exactly what you said before with Iran. People know that higher for the military, but yet many of them they don't necessarily follow.
Well, they believe. That's what he's saying, that emunah is the key. You want to live in Israel, you have to have emunah. There's no other way. Oh, so I think that they do. I think there's a lot of real emunah up there. I think so.
I think what you were talking about before, that, I mean, all of us to some extent know that there are a lot of miracles in the protection of this country, but like, to really focus on that and not get like distracted by other things, like it's hard.
Agreed. But I once had a student in the Hesder Yeshiva whose whole family was non-observant, but they were all big into the military. So he once told me that his aunt called him over, and his aunt said to him, "You're going to Yeshiva to learn, right?" So he said, "Yeah." And she said, "Why is it important?" And he said, "Because it's the lifeline of our people." And she said to him, "I sit in the Shabak," or whichever part of the Secret Service, "and I listen to all the conversations, and you know how many lives I save on an average week. Don't tell me you're the lifeline of the people. I'm the lifeline of the people." So it struck me that she didn't view her job as, "I'm in the Secret Service." No, she viewed her job as, "I'm trying to be the lifeline of the people." And that's why I'm saying there's a lot of real connection. The people are working because they care. So coming back to the Rav Harlap says, Shechon Eretz u'ei emunah. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, live in the land and shepherd your faith, because the two have to go together. You can't be here without emunah. The Pasuk says, this is a land that Hashem seeks out Hashem is watching this land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Hashem's watching what's going on here. Meaning every day and every minute is Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, you get a contract in the beginning of the year. This is what you're going to make. This is what your life's going to be like. Not in Israel. In Israel, Hashem says, I'm paying attention. Every second is its own new judgment. So yeah, we also have Rosh Hashanah. But there's an element where Hashem's watching what's going on here minute by minute. And so, Rav Charlap is reiterating a concept which we saw numerous times in Rav Charlap. Rav Charlap says, one of the difficulties we have in our concepts of life is that we think that this minute is a product of the previous minute. And when a person should realize that this minute is its own creation, it's its own existence. When I can look at each minute as its own existence, lirga'im tivchanenu, that's what the Ribbon Shel Olam says, I've given you another minute in the land of Israel. And now another minute. It's another decision. It's another creation. Shechon eretz ureemuna. It's as though there's a constant decision in heaven that is, you're going to be there. This connects to a concept the Malbim discusses, that when Hashem punishes the people of Israel, we see two stages to the punishment. Sometimes Hashem says, you want to have nothing to do with me, I'll have nothing to do with you. And Hashem doesn't punish us actively. Hashem just says, okay, I leave you to the forces of nature. And when Hashem pulls back, suddenly we're in trouble. Other nations might, that was the mistake in Bar Kokhba's time, right? He said, the Ribbon Shel Olam, don't help me, but don't fight me. I can manage. I don't need your help. I just need you not to be on the, don't help them. And that doesn't work. That's not the way we talk to God. Right? But the people of Israel have to know that we're not that way. If Hashem isn't helping us, we don't stand a chance. And that's the idea that every minute is its own creation in the land of Israel. It's its own existence. And that's the concept the Pasuk says, V'chiper admato amo. Our sages say, the land itself is an atonement for the people of Israel. And that's why everyone wants to be buried in Israel. Well, says Rav Charlap, that's if you connect to the land. When you connect to the land, so then you have this constant renewal like the land itself. And then, I'm a new being. I'm a new being. I'm a constant new being. I'm constantly having new beginnings. Don't bind me to my past. My past was a thing of the past. But now, look at what I'm doing. If every minute has to be a new creation of the Ribbon Shel Olam, of the land of Israel, of the people being here, I'm a part of that. Many years ago, about 20 years ago, maybe a little more than that, there was a conversation going on. We were a small group of people who had come to yeshiva for a small amount of time, and we were all deciding whether we would make aliyah. So one person in the group said to the other people, and at that time it was scary, there were buses blowing up. At that time, there was a lot of terrorist activity going on around us. I remember when we landed, so our relatives told us, do me a favor, stay on top of the news. And we said, why? And they said, because when something happens, give us a call and tell us you're alive. Things were happening every day. So there was a discussion, and one person in the group said to the other people in the group, he said, if he made aliyah and one of his kids was killed or maimed in a terrorist attack, how could he live with himself? That was his line. So another one in the group answered him and said, let me tell you, buddy, people get killed on the subway in New York. But if a person's kid gets killed in the subway on New York, so then a person has nothing to say for himself. He lived in New York, his kid was killed on a subway in New York, and now he's got to move on with life. But if a person made aliyah and he's done something, so then every minute he's living here, he has done something for the Jewish people. And people die everywhere. But at least he knows that his son died doing something for the people of Israel, doing something not only for this generation, but for all future generations. So coming back to here, Rav Charlap says, when a person comes to Israel, so a person is part of that renewal process. The idea that the land is an atonement for a person, says Rav Charlap, is when a person connects to the land, connects to the concepts of the constant renewal that goes on in the land of Israel. but a person has to connect. And that's a challenge. A person comes to Israel and it's not obvious that every person that walks the land connects to the land. If a person looks at the land and sees the flaws, if a person comes to the land and he himself is not connected, he says, I miss my M&Ms, my Dunkin' Donuts. Why is traffic like this? Why are the traffic lights like this? Why is there congestion? Where I come from, the buses are, the subways are, the politicians are, the system is, people don't cut lines. A person can always come and see what he doesn't like. And then a person can choose not to connect. So then a person has come to the land, has not connected to the land, and then he is not part of that renewal of the land. The soul of Israel is really a part of the Torah. Just as Hashem formed the Torah, Hashem formed this general soul of the people of Israel. And they, when it comes to Torah, Hashem says, every day we approach Torah, we should view it as something new. So the fundamental concept of the soul is that the soul is also something new. And this, again, is empowering. Very often people feel bound by their past. Not in Machon Meir. Everyone that comes here says, my past was my past, but I'm building the future. Every day has new colors. And so when a person has done something wrong, we say, if his soul is a part of the greater soul of Israel, so then his soul cannot be tainted. The idea that the general soul of Israel has constant renewal and has new colors every day, that's when a person connects to the general soul of Israel, and then a person says, I'm connected to the present. Remember we said emunah is about the present? Emunah is not a constant. You talk to me on the level of emet, what's the truth? You can't deny what the past was. The truth is finite. This is what was. It's a reality. You can't change the past. Emunah is a different level. Emunah is the dynamics of life. Emunah is the evolvement of life. Emunah is the connection to the present. Where is God and where is my soul and where is my connection in the present? Emunah is not a thing of the past, nor is Emunah a thing of the future. Emunah is a present reality, but it's a reality a person has to choose to create. Coming back to Rav Charlap, what happened in Mei Merivah? What happened when Moshe was standing by the rock opposite the Jewish people? Chazal tell us that Bikrovai Ekadesh, through Hashem's close, the people who are close to him, the tzaddikim, or in this case Moshe and Aaron, Hashem is sanctified. Technically, even in the action itself, when Moshe and Aaron do something wrong, whatever you'll say they did wrong, and Hashem reacts, so then the nation stands in awe. The idea that Hashem says, you guys are not coming into the land of Israel. That in itself affected the Jewish people. The Jewish people walked away from Mei Merivah on a higher level. The punishment to a tzaddik over what they did wrong is not a connection to the past. If Moshe Rabbeinu did something wrong with hitting the rock, Moshe Rabbeinu did tshuva a second later. The second Moshe understands he did something wrong, so the regular person, when he realizes he did something wrong, so he tells himself, I'll think about it, I'll get back to it, I have to really understand if I did something wrong. A giant like Moshe Rabbeinu, I did something wrong, I got to change it right now. He's not waiting for anything. His tshuva was right away. The second Moshe understands I did something wrong, Moshe's working on doing tshuva. Because when a person really understands that a transgression is something that makes him distant from the Ribbon Shalom, and a person says, my life is about connecting to the Ribbon Shalom and doing what's right, so then there's no reason to pause. All of my life is about this. What am I waiting for? So then why is the tzaddik punished? Why is Moshe punished? It's not because of the past. The punishment is not something connected to the past, but it's something connected to the present. Hayomim bekolot tishmau. Yes.
Just if the people were uplifted, they were uplifted by the fact that they could sense that he'd already done tshuva. What was uplifting to them? And the idea that Moshe was punished, that they mentioned afterwards, even though he didn't read the tshuva, it would almost like seem, if that's the reason he was punished, that the tshuva wasn't accepted.
So he doesn't spell it out. I'll say now, but this is my understanding of it.
Maybe he can still get punished and the tshuva is accepted by the norm of God and all that. I'm sorry.
Every transgression has an element of connecting to the moment and not to the bigger picture. Meaning, whenever a person can connect to the bigger picture, so then a person says, my life is worth more than that. I'm not doing that. Ask any person when he's not in the heat of the moment, do you really think you should do that? No way, leave me alone. I regret I ever did it and I wouldn't want to do it. And that's not who I am. It could be right now a person is tainted with his desires, but that means that every transgression is a connection to the moment and an oversight of the broader picture in every person. So
the connection was lessened at the moment.
At that moment, I'm focused on the here and now, right now. I'm not focused on the bigger picture. So a person is tempted by a candy bar, so the candy bar is tempting now, but ask him a day ago and ask him tomorrow, and the broader picture of things, if he's not right now standing in front of the candy bar, he'll tell you it's not what I believe in, it's not who I am. So there is a moment when a person separates himself from the bigger picture and says, I'm connected to this now. If we were to take, let's say, the approach that Moshe yelled at the Jewish people and said, rebellious ones, when he shouldn't have said that, he expressed an anger that God had not expressed, and to them it was God expressing something which God had not. If we were to take that interpretation, so then there's a split moment when Moshe separates from the Ribbono Shel'Olam. The punishment is the reconnection. Is the Ribbono Shel'Olam telling the people of Israel, you will see that I won't let him go on this one, and that will prove to you that everything else he said is what I've said. Because I'm the one emotion that he expresses that is interpreted as me. So the punishment is a way of fixing what Moshe did. I'm going here with the Ran's interpretation. And that's where Rav Chalap says we walk to on a higher level. I'm limited. I have to leave 15 minutes ago. If you guys want, we could talk on the way out. If you want, we'll take 2 minutes and finish. There's one more paragraph to Rav Chalap. We would say it's the same concept. They broke the order that the Ribbono Shel'Olam had given for running the temple, and the punishment was a reestablishment of that order. It's much more severe if you think about it deeply. The idea of breaking the order is not far from paganism. Because if I define the service of Hashem, so then it's my service. But I don't dare say that about giants like Nadav and Avihu, who are considered greater than Moshe and Aaron. What do I know?
We have a challenge to
that. Why is it always not a constant, but that they were greater, and it says Shmuel was greater, and I was reading something that the prophecy of Bilam was equal to and or greater than Moshe's. I thought Moshe was the top.
We'll talk about it on the way to put away this farm, okay? Rav Harlap concludes with V'heemin Bashem, when Avram believes in Hashem, what's so great that he believed? The idea is Hashem told him, you're going to have children. and Yitzchak will come, and from him will come a people of Israel. Yitzchak coming is a miracle. And then Hashem says, there'll be a nation that will come out of Yitzchak. That's an evolvement of that miracle through nature. Okay, that can happen, that a person develops. Hemin b'Hashem means that Avraham Avinu saw both as Hashem. The idea that emunah helps me see that even the things that seem like a natural evolvement, they're Hashem causing that evolvement. And so Hemin b'Hashem, Avraham Avinu connects to the idea that even Yitzchak having children and a whole people of Israel evolving from him is also Hashem. That's coming back to the original concept. If we look at the world and we say, of course people get married and have children, we want to say that's a myth. That's a constant. Look at the world. Everyone gets married and has children. Emunah says, no, people don't have to get married. Yitzchak reaches the age of 40. He's almost dead and he hasn't found a wife. Then he finds a three-year-old for a wife. That's not obvious. He'll have children. He's going to have children. Then Yitzchak's wife can't have kids. He can't have kids. Emin b'Hashem means in everything I see Hashem, but that's the dynamic of emunah, the fluctuation, the recognition that the dynamic of life is intimately connected to Hashem running the world, and that's the emunah, which goes with the person every day, that connects a person to the land of Israel. The emunah that, yes, Hashem is a constant. Hashem is a constant, but life is not a constant. Life is dynamic. And it's through that emunah that a person connects to the land of Israel, to the greater picture of the people of Israel. And then a person also allows himself the capacity for growth, because emunah is the recognition that every minute is defined by itself. It's not an outcome of the previous minute. And as such, every minute has renewed potential.